The Sportscast, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. Alexa, play Sportscast. That's all you need to say. You can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts. And if you do, please leave a rating and a review. Also on Spotify. Also listening to us on online digital radio. And you can also listen to us, or actually go to thesportscast.net for the latest. We have Isaac Kaplan talking about his top five quarterbacks for 2022. Aaron Rodgers is number one. You can read the rest a little bit later on the website. And also, you can download our app, The Sportscast. We break some stories there. And if you're a notification person like Joe Toscano, download the app. Anyways, join us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Amanda, that does not miss a Super Bowl unless it's being hosted in London. Joe Toscano, welcome back to The Sportscast.
Thanks for having me. Happy Valentine's Day. I love football. And now it's going to be gone, so I'm going to be heartbroken.
Yes.
I guess I have to. We have to wait for the USFL or something like that.
Which is
or
in XFL. April. No, well.
Oh, April.
USFL starts in April. XFL starts until next year.
Ugh. You teased us, Rock.
Now, will Pittsburgh be involved with any of these two leagues?
There is a Pittsburgh team in the USFL. It's the Pittsburgh Maulers. There actually was a Pittsburgh Maulers in 1984. They only played one season. But yes, there will be a USFL team, but I believe they'll start their first year. They'll all play in Alabama or something like that. And then maybe next year they'll play somewhere else. Play in the actual cities.
If you remember the Alliance League, which was about 2 years ago, they focus on the Southeast region, or it was, the southern region from like Phoenix to Birmingham. I like that strategy. Why? Because I believe professional football doesn't do well in that region. And also you can focus on that region itself rather than traveling from like Buffalo to Seattle.
Yeah. I think football is football's popular everywhere.
It is.
But I think it's important to have a league like Alliance or USFL or XFL or any of these little leagues. I think they're important because you need a minor league. You need a place where players can show that they can play. We've seen even in these tiny little leagues or whatever, we've seen success stories from them that have gone on to the NFL. So if I was the NFL, I would create a minor league, but they're not. So I really wish some of these minor leagues would thrive and play for a lot of years and be successful.
I agree. And going back to the Alliance, a lot of players, I bet about 20 to 30 players came from that league and went to the NFL. Now, not saying they're starting quarterbacks or anything, but they're like, you know, backups or going to the practice squad. I think it's good to see players being not developed, I guess a strong word. But just see, hey, you didn't make the NFL, but we'll give you another chance and see where you're at. I mean, hey, you can see
exactly.
Some great, you know, great players, a lot of skills that, you know, hey, they needed to develop. There's only about, 32 teams in the NFL, very, very tight roster amount. So I totally agree. The CFL, to be honest, is considered the second division, but I don't see like hardly any players coming from there.
You hardly see anything from the CFL. Not sure why. Not sure what's going on there. And the CFL has been around forever, but yeah, not sure what happened there. But I definitely think there should be a minor league in America, and I think it would benefit everybody.
I would think a good partnership, well, not a good partnership, but a partnership with the NFL might help out. I know the Alliance did it about 2 years ago with the NFL. Do you think NFL shouldn't be involved or just keep it separate?
It would make so much sense. It would make so much sense for an NFL team to have a minor league affiliate. Because, I mean, you know, you have your starters, you have your players to play, but a lot of them don't. get them some experience, get them some action. I don't know. It makes a lot of sense, but for some reason they won't.
Exactly. Oh, also another story I want to bring you up. London is going to bid for the 2026 Super Bowl. What are your thoughts about that?
Sure, why not? I mean,
really?
Yeah, why not? Hey, it's not like I'm going to the Super Bowl anytime soon. True. I mean, tickets are like, you know, $5,000-$10,000 a piece or whatever. So, hey, whatever. I mean, it would. I think they really want to expand into Europe. I really think in the future, I think there are going to be European teams permanently there. So this is just another step toward that. Yeah. Expand it. Yeah, it's very popular. I think it would be a big hit.
And now talking about second division leagues, NFL Europe, which was back in the late 90s, early 2000s, was that second division league that NFL sponsored. And we saw a man named Kurt Warner that jumped from the NFL Europe to the NFL and won a Super Bowl with the St. Louis Rams at the time.
Kurt Warner, by the way, that movie about him is actually very good, and it's actually pretty realistic and factually correct. He was NFL Europe. He was in the Arena League. He would have never played in the NFL if it wasn't for those things, if he didn't have that, if he didn't get to show what he could do. So that's a perfect example. And this is a Hall of Famer. This is a guy that made the Hall of Fame. So it's the perfect example of why there should be smaller leagues.
Exactly. And as I'm going to reiterate what Joe said a few minutes ago, yes, not only next year, I think it was next year or 2 years from now, there will be some NFL games being hosted in Germany, Munich, and I believe Frankfurt is the other one. So besides London, which London will have a game that year as well, we'll have one in Germany. And I think Mexico City is coming back too, I believe.
Yeah, there's going to be a game in Mexico City. Anytime they've tried to play there recently, it's been a disaster. So hopefully they could get that fixed. But yeah, I mean, the NFL is insanely popular. Put a team in Mexico, put a team in Toronto, put teams in Europe, put teams. Yeah, you know, just make sure the Steelers are good. That's all I care about.
I have my doubts about that, but we'll have that in another podcast. I don't see an NFL player living in London. Well, maybe he could, but
that's a good point. That's a good point. how that would all work. Yeah.
Not bored. No, I mean, no offense to the London people that listen to us, but you know, it's just, I've been hearing complaints about players that, for example, NBA players that lived in Toronto playing for the Raptors, just not that comfortable.
Interesting.
Different bank accounts. Yeah. They got to get like a new bank account. They can't, you know, operate with Wells Fargo. You got to use the Bank of Canada or something.
Yeah, that's those are interesting points.
How do I know this? Because I'm a sports junkie. I listen to a lot of podcasts and everything.
Me too.
Exactly. So okay, so we're gonna recap every play of the Super Bowl last night. Before we get into each play, Joe, your overall quick reaction from last night.
I was right for once. I called it. I said that the Rams' defensive line would overpower the Bengals' offensive line and create problems, and that's exactly what happened, and that was one of the main reasons why they won. Still, it was close. Credit to the Bengals, but the other big thing is OBJ getting hurt. That crippled the Rams, but they were able to overcome it. Stafford, when it counted, he came through, and Cooper Kupp is a god.
Correct. Cooper Kupp, who won the MVP, was a fantastic. And I do agree with Joe. We've been talking about this with the sportscast these past few weeks. The Bengals' offensive line was an issue. It was exposed by a good defensive line led by Donald, Aaron Donald, and, of course, Von Miller. Obviously, he's a linebacker. Exposed the Bengals' offense. And, of course, you know, you can only go so far with a weak offensive line, an issue that a lot of NFL teams struggle. And sometimes you got to be lucky to get those players you need to protect your quarterback in the pocket. So that was one of the things. But anyways, let's go and recap each play of the last night, Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles. We might recap the halftime show, so get ready for that. Let's do it. Okay, first quarter, it took about 6 minutes in for a touchdown by Odell Beckham Jr. 17-yard pass from Matthew Stafford made it a touchdown. Joe, what are your thoughts about that play?
Odell Beckham really was a difference in the game when he played and when he didn't play, because obviously Cooper Kupp is having one of the greatest seasons of any receiver ever. And so obviously you're going to try to stop him. You're going to double team him, do whatever you can. But that left OBJ open, and he took advantage of it. And the Rams offense was, it looked like it was going to be a blowout. They were just firing on all cylinders. Everything was looking good. Odell was having the game of his life. Everything was going fine. So good on the Rams.
Why didn't we see this in Cleveland, Joe?
That's a good question. I think it's just a case of certain players. You just got to get in the right situation. And I don't know what happened with OBJ in Cleveland. I don't know if it was his fault. I don't know if it was, coaches, Baker Mayfield. I don't know what happened there, but it was a complete disaster. I think probably everybody's at fault.
28 seconds left in the game. The Bengals cannot score a touchdown, but they did score a field goal by Evan McPherson, who is 58% of the offense, and a player that stayed for the halftime show. Did not go into the locker room, but he stayed for the halftime show.
It's funny because I think old school people would say, well, how could you do that? Why aren't you in there with your team? It's like, what's a kicker going to do? What's he going to do? Learn how to kick on the other foot or something like that? What adjustments you're going to make? He has one job. Hey, go out there and kick. So go ahead. Watch the halftime show. Have fun.
A lot of tell there. It's a great halftime show. I guess a kicker doesn't have to hear the halftime pep talk.
Yeah, you got. Hey, you! It's time for you to kick. Go out there. Bye. That's his job.
There you go. Second quarter. The Rams striked again. This time, Cooper Kupp, 11-yard pass from Matthew Stafford. They were trying for the 2-point conversion. If did not go through. They led 13-3. That was the start of Cooper Kupp's MVP run.
I don't think they tried for a 2-point conversion. I think it was a botched extra point.
Yes, right.
And that actually had a big factor in the game. That was that was huge, that missed extra points. So the Rams were, at this point, they were clicking, they're firing all cylinders, and it hurt the Bengals that they only settled for a field goal there. And that was one of their problems this postseason, is getting field goals when they should have got touchdowns. So hey, I mean, right now it was looking like a blowout.
Joe, how important are extra points?
it's huge, because there are times when they were down. I think at one point the score was 20-16. It's a big difference being down 20-16 than 20-17 when all you have to do is drive a little bit and kick a field goal. So it changes the entire complexion of the game.
Sticking to second quarter, 5 minutes left, second quarter. T. Higgins, the number two wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, scored their first touchdown, 6-yard pass from Joe Mixon, actually. Did a nice, cool play there. 13-10, Rams were still leading, but Bengals get on the board. Joe was thinking, this is a game.
Exactly. This is a game now. The Rams came out swinging, and the Bengals, in tennis terms, return serve. So really cool play, really nice gadget play with Mixon throwing it to Higgins. And everybody talks about Burrow, everybody talks about Jamar Chase and Mixon, but T. Higgins is also a beast. Also Tyler Boyd, very good receiver, although he did have a key drop later in the game.
T. Higgins, yeah, he did. T. Higgins definitely had a fantastic game. Showed up, helped out Chase. Then we go to the halftime show. Snoop Dogg walks out of the locker room, get in there. We saw Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre starting off, kicking off. Snoop Dogg, I'm not a huge rap fan, but a lot of people where I was watching was jiving with it. They related to these artists. Mary J. Blige, Eminem. Joe, how would you rate this halftime show?
This was the music I grew up with. Eminem, Dre, Snoop Dogg, These are some of my favorite songs of all time. California Love. I love this so much. So put me in the category. It was one or the other. Either people did not like it. They either hated it or loved it. I was in the category of loving it. It was one of my favorite halftime shows of all time.
I loved it. Was it the best halftime show of all time?
I don't think so. People say that Prince was the best one.
I heard that.
Yeah, he killed it. Yeah, go watch that performance. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, Prince is one of the greatest of all time, so no surprise there. But yeah, I'd have to say Prince was good. I'm not sure what other ones were really good. I personally liked J-Lo and Shakira, but that was more a visual thing.
Yeah, more a visual thing, not a musical performance thing. Right. I liked the halftime show. I give it an 8.3, which is a pretty good score. And I think a lot of relation. Yeah, a lot of people from my age were like, they loved it. They loved the Snoop Dogg Crip Walk. And I think Bruno Mars was probably one of the top I like. But I can't forget the back in 93 Michael Jackson halftime show at the Rose Bowl, if you remember that.
Well, just change it up. You know, people are complaining. It's like, oh, well, you know, obviously there's people that don't like hip hop or don't like those artists. Okay, fine. But don't stick, you know, Bruce Springsteen or Foo Fighters or some crap like that. Just change it up. Have a rock act one year. Have hip hop another one. Have country another one. Have a popular music. Just change it up. Just you know, cycle it out.
How about classical music? I'm all for that.
Yes. Yes. A Yo-Yo Ma halftime show. That's what I want next year.
All right. Third quarter. Bengals scored the last touchdown in the second quarter. They came in third quarter. They couldn't stop. T. Higgins, 75-yard pass from Joe Burrow. A long pass. Made it 13-17. The Bengals first time leading in the game. Joe, what's your heart pumping?
At first, when I saw this, I thought, whoa, the Bengals, they are back. They came roaring back, no pun intended. Wow, Jalen Ramsey looks bad. Oh boy. And then you look at the replay, and T. Higgins grabbed Jalen Ramsey by the face mask and threw him almost out of the stadium. And no penalty was called. And that had a huge factor for at the end of the game, because the refs had to do the makeup call. So huge, huge play. And I don't understand why that was not called a penalty. This referee crew seemed to just let everything go, which is fine. But that was a blatant call that should have been made.
Now, could the coaches... could they have called a coaching challenge, or there was not allowed, or like they were not allowed?
I don't believe you're allowed to have a coaching challenge on something like that.
Oh, that's why I was telling my friend about that. Yeah.
In fact, I think, yeah, I mean, because, well, only for that one year they had, you know, you could have a coach's challenge on off pass interference, but they got rid of that. That was only a 1 year thing. So yeah, I don't think they were allowed to do a challenge that. Otherwise, I'm sure the Rams would have.
But it did not make a difference. I'll tell you why. A little bit later in the third quarter, one field goal by McPherson, which was 38 yards. And then Matt Gay made his appearance, 41 yards, his first field goal. 16-20 at the end of the third. Joe, were you feeling Bengals were going to win it at the start of the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I'm not sure at what point OBJ got hurt, but that was a major factor for the Rams. They went from an offense that was doing pretty well to an offense that basically did nothing. They basically, like, it just completely destroyed them. Every time they had a drive, it was like a three and out. They could not gain anything. It was an absolute mess until they figured it out in the fourth quarter. But at that point, it did not look good for the Rams, because it looked like they just could not overcome the injuries. It wasn't just Odell Beckham. I believe Tyler Higbee was hurt too. And it's like, basically you have a bunch of scrubs and Cooper Kupp, and the Bengals knew it. So the Bengals just said, oh, well, now it's really easy to stop Kupp because there is no other alternative. And anytime the Rams tried to run it, they got absolutely stonewalled. So the Rams basically offense was basically nothing. And it was basically up to the Rams defense to just hold on and hope that the offense could do something.
Then we go into the fourth quarter. Bengals could not have scored. They had a drive, but could not convert to anything. But the Rams had the last laugh. They went and did their drive, a touchdown pass, Matthew Stafford, the Cooper Cup, to win the Super Bowl, 23-20. Actually, was it Matt Gay's field goal kick, or was it a Cooper Cup?
No, it was a touchdown.
It was a touchdown. That's right, Cooper Cup, MVP. Joe, they were celebrating. But, of course, no. Went back to the Bengals. They had their chance. Aaron Donald sealed the deal. 4th-and-1. They could have ran the ball, but they're going for the throw. Aaron Donald sacked Joe Burrow. Rams win the Super Bowl. And Aaron Donald was pointing to his ring finger that he has a ring.
If you remember in the NFC Championship game, it was almost the same thing. The Rams were ahead, and it was up to the 49ers to drive down the field to score. And they basically didn't go anywhere. It basically got shut down by the Rams defense and especially Aaron Donald. And the exact same thing happened here. That Rams defense, Aaron Donald is not just one of the best defensive players in the league, just one of the best players, period. And he showed why. It wasn't just him. That entire Rams defense did very well. But Aaron Donald stepped up in the end there and just shut the Bengals down. And right before that, that game-winning drive by the Rams, Matthew Stafford stepped up. He was clutch when he needed to be clutch. And Cooper Kupp showed he has had one of the best seasons of any wide receiver in history. It was historic. It was amazing. So they both came up big when it was time. And no, you can't say anything bad about the Bengals. They tried. It was amazing that they got this far. They almost won a Super Bowl with that crappy offensive line and also not a great secondary. So hats off to them. But the Rams stepped up when they needed to.
They did. Rams win the Super Bowl 23-10. Cooper Kupp stepped it up, which was enough for him to win the MVP award. After the game, Rams safety Eric Weddle, he announced his retirement, and Rams safety Taylor Rapp proposed to his girlfriend after the Super Bowl a day before the special Valentine's Day. But hey, Rams deserved it. They were a win now or win in 20 years. Second Super Bowl they won at the first one was in 1999 with the St. Louis Rams. Same ownership, Kroenke, who also owns Arsenal. But yeah, this Rams team, Joe, your thoughts? Is this one of the greatest teams you've ever seen? Is this like the last time we'll see them here?
This is the last time we'll see them. They had a strategy of Super Bowl or bust, and it worked. They made a gamble. They traded all those first-round picks. It was basically, you know, they acquired OBJ and Von Miller during the season. It was all Super Bowl or bust. They went all in, and it worked. A lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times when a team goes all in, it does not work. But for the Rams, it worked. We're not going to see them again. I know there's talk of Aaron Donald retiring. He's not going to retire. He makes too much money. There's no way. Guy makes like $20, $25 million a year. You're not just walking away from that. But this team will be different. I don't think it was a particularly awesome team, especially with their injuries, but it was a very good team. And I think historically we're going to see that Aaron Donald is one of the best of all time, and Cooper Kupp, we'll see. We'll see if he could have another season like this again, but it was historic. He did everything, receiving yards, receptions, touchdowns, Super Bowl MVP. He won everything he could. Offensive player of the year. He won everything. He basically had one of the greatest seasons of any receiver ever. So special season. It all came together. They went all in, and it worked.
Ray Sherrod from the comments on YouTube agrees with you, which he co-hosts Sports Talk 101 on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Watch out tomorrow. They'll recap the game and what they thought. I think Cooper Kupp definitely will be the face of the franchise, I would say. Maybe Stafford, but I think Kupp is definitely go-to. How about the Cincinnati Bengals? You know, had a surprising run, made it to the Super Bowl. No one saw it. They had a 3% chance at the beginning of the season to make it to the Super Bowl. They exceeded expectations. Are we going to see them again in the playoffs, maybe in the Super Bowl, and will they dominate the AFC North for years to come?
Goodness, I hope not. That's what Steeler fans are saying. They're just very upset that we have to face Joe Burrow and that team for years to come. So we are worried. We are officially worried. The Bengals had an amazing run, but now things get a lot harder. Now you're not drafting in the top 10. Now you have massive expectations. The expectations. Now your players are, everybody's going to want your players because they made it to a Super Bowl. It's things are going to be a lot different for the Bengals. So let's see how they handle all that. You also have to consider you're in a conference with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Josh Allen and the Bills, and who knows who else is going to come up. So, you know, this could be a situation like Dan Marino and the Dolphins, where you thought, you know, Dan Marino made it to the Super Bowl in his rookie year. It's like, oh boy, he's going to be in the Super Bowl every year, and he never made it again. So you never know. You never know. I think the Bengals organization is a bit of a joke, so I have a feeling they're not going to make it, but that's just my opinion.
And Dan Marino is from the Pittsburgh area.
He is. He is a god here. Also came from University of Pittsburgh, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good point with Joe. I think they're not just in the AFC they got to deal with, but also in the North, they're still going to have to deal with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, which I still think they're a force to be reckoned with, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is always – the Ravens are always a good team. Lamar Jackson is special. Who knows what's going to happen there. It's going to be real tough to get back. It's just real tough for any team to make it to a Super Bowl. So, you know, they could do it.
Unless you're Tom Brady.
Exactly. Tom Brady. See, it's Tom Brady's fault because he makes it look easy. And he makes you think that you should go to the Super Bowl every year. No, he was the exception.
Yeah, exactly. It's very hard. It's going to be very tough to top having championships, which is a tough thing to do. Ray says Rams will have to let some players go and no first round picks.
Yeah, it's going to be a different team. It's going to be a different team. You know, and I mean, Stafford is, he's not exactly young. So we'll see what happens. They have to they're going to have to get creative, and they're going to have to be really good with some, you know, bargain free agents and late round draft picks and, you know, stuff like that to stay up there.
Well, there you have it. Looking forward. The Rams are going to, you know, we'll see what happens next year. The Bengals definitely promising, but they're going to have to juggle through again. It's not easy to make it to the Super Bowl. The NBA is doable, but when it comes to football, there's a lot of bangs, a lot of bruises you got to go through. And only Tom Brady's been able to do it. Well, him and Belichick, I would say. But it's very difficult in the NFL. So we'll see what happens in the next upcoming weeks. We got the NFL draft, NFL combine. So there's a lot of NFL news. Don't say it dies down completely. No, it doesn't. Running the sports cast, I realize there's pretty much NFL news every week. Question marks about Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady, there's a rumor that he may come back. I mean, have you heard that one?
He could play for the Steelers. Tom Brady to the Steelers.
You don't mind.
Let's do it. I wouldn't hate it.
Anyways, poll question of the day. Valentine's Day, what is the best gift to give for your significant other today? Options are a box of chocolates, flowers, dinner, or a kiss.
I am giving all of those to my lovely wife who puts up with me. I'm actually having flowers delivered to where she works. So I am just a wonderful husband. So yeah, just, you know, great get job. On my level, folks.
Great job. You did your homework.
I've been married a while, so I know. it's like being an experienced coach. You know what works and what doesn't.
Yep. Prepared. Box of chocolates, 25%. Flowers is winning at 50. Food, 0. And a kiss, 25%. So flowers is the safest bet.
Oh, yeah. Gotta get flowers. If you have access to a Sam's Club or Costco or something like that, the roses are cheap. Just a little. So they're only like, you know, $15. if you don't want to go to the ridiculous, you know, flower shops.
And of course, the lady would not notice a difference if it was a Costco flower or from a boutique flower shop.
Just rip off the tags, yeah.
Okay, that's a secret. Just want to know. All right, Joe, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about what are the Steelers going to do this offseason? Are they going to get a new quarterback, or are they going to stick with Mason?
That is a big question. I'm Joey Bag of Donuts, VN7F. We are – that's all Steelers fans have been talking about for the past month, and that's what we're going to be talking about for the past 6 months. Not that I'm already sick about it, but – hey, it is what it is, and you know, it's a huge question, so we'll see what happens.
Will it be up to the new GM? Probably.
No, because Kevin Colbert is leaving after the draft. So this will be, in theory, his last draft. So they're either going to draft someone or get a free agent or something like that. From what I hear, they really want a quarterback, Malik Willis from Liberty.
That's their best bet right now.
Yeah, but we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the Steelers draft at 20. So, you know, if you know, Malik Willis goes like top five or something like that, there's no way you're going to be able to get him. But if he lasts until like after the 10th pick or something like that, then you could trade up to get him, and it's realistic. So
It could happen. Everyone thought Kyler Murray was going to be draft sixth round. I'm just kidding. But came out to be first pick.
Kyler Murray might be going to the Steelers. That might be something that happens.
He wiped clean anything Cardinals related on his Instagram account. That's not coincidence.
No box of chocolates from the Cardinals of Kyler Murray.
Yeah, not good. I was a little disappointed because I like Murray, but you know, sometimes something happens. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net. Or on our Twitter, the Sportscast1. And tomorrow we have Sports Talk 101. Thursday, Victor. Victor called me right after the show. I could have had a show last night, but I was really tired. I was eating so much wings. But he was telling me about bad coaching calls. So we'll definitely hear a whole monologue, maybe half an hour, of why the Bengals lost. And it's obviously his proud moment when OBJ scored that touchdown. So looking forward to Thursday's night show. And we have an announcement, new show next week. We'll be announcing it in the next couple of days. So pretty excited for the Sportscast. And Joe Toscano, lovely day. Have a great, lovely day on this Valentine's Day 2022.
I love you all. Happy Valentine's Day.
And this was your update.